From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends related to geospatial technologies, that is, all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we take up a question of coding. Why is it that we spend so much money noting attributes of physical objects on paper or in electronic files, only for them to be of limited use in the field? Why don't we simply code those items out in the field where the information is needed? In Akron, Ohio, fire hydrants are coded with their water pressure by using different colored domes. So even as we put all this information into databases, shouldn't we also think about simply putting them out in the real world? We'll have a look at that question after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Improve the performance of your web maps and make your authoritative data more broadly available with ArcGIS 931. For more information, visit www.esri.com/what's new.
Now, this whole topic comes from an article in the Toledo Blade, which talks about how in Akron, Ohio, they in fact code their fire hydrant water pressure based on color. And I will quote the Toledo Blade. For more than 20 years, fire crews in Akron have known the number of gallons per minute to expect from a hydrant based on the color of the hydrant's dome. In that city, red, orange, green, and white domed fire hydrants dispense 500, 501 to 1,000, 1,001 to 1,500, and more than 1,500 gallons of water per minute, respectively. So clearly there, they have put the information right where the firefighters need it. They don't have to pull out paper maps. They don't have to pop open laptops and zoom in on the fire hydrant. The information is right there. And that is one of the principles of good design, is that you give people the information exactly when and where they need it. So what I want to think about is, why are we doing more of this? I mean, there's an awful lot of energy being spent collecting this information, putting it, moving it off of paper onto electronic maps, which then are either delivered via laptops or handheld devices. But we, in so many cases, we don't even need those handheld devices. We can get the information literally by looking at the object itself. Now, the other example that I have, something to do here in Boston, where they paint sections of the highway in different colors so that when you call in with an accident, you can say, oh, the wall is green or the wall is pink, and it helps the responding public safety folks find you. And that's another really simple way where there's no numbers and you don't have to walk back or forward to find a milepost. You just know you're at the pink wall. And I really wonder if we shouldn't be doing more of this.
Well, what brought it to my mind when I read the article was the fact that, you know, can we coordinate the use of symbology in the real world with symbology on a map? And then secondly, how to get this information to the first responders, in this case the fire and or the police, such that if they're using a mobile handheld device, you see the item in the real world, and you see the symbology on the map. And it's a perfect coordination between divisions, and you'd hope that was being done. Don't know if it's being done, but certainly this is a good kind of a case study to illustrate the coordination between perhaps the transportation department, the first responders, and the mapping division. And are they working together to make this all happen and a more efficient process?
Right, and that's really not clear from the article. It's very clear that the firefighters in Akron know exactly what these things mean and have that carry that information around in their heads. But whether or not it corresponds to what's in the GIS is a whole other question. Now, as simple and elegant as the solution seems to be, Columbus has been hesitant to take on that same kind of solution, in particular because individuals will then know by looking at the fire hydrants outside their house whether or not they've got high pressure or low pressure. And if they have low pressure, they may raise that as, why is my street only have low pressure fire hydrants? And that's being cited as one of the reasons that Columbus hasn't made the switch. I guess I would argue on the other side, what wonderful transparency. They're telling it like it is. And there are good reasons why pressures are different, having to do mostly with the historical nature of the pipes and how what the diameter of the pipes underlying the fire hydrants are and so forth. So I actually think this is actually a positive step toward transparency as opposed to a potential for people to get mad at the local government.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The other thing that I was thinking of was, will more of these items in the real world, the fire hydrants or whatever, become location aware such that the information, which sometimes may vary, I mean, if there's low water pressure, the fire responders will want to know about that. So will things like this become location aware such that they are sending information back to a central server so that in real time you know what that water pressure is? And in that article, there was the example of the home that was on fire, and it took the firemen an hour to find the hydrant with the right amount of water capacity. So you know, here's an example where, hey, let's cut the time down if we only knew where that information was. So I think there's an element, maybe if you want us to think that it's a little bit more futuristic, but these are things that could be location-enabled maybe sometime down the road.
Right, and that's sort of a different question as opposed to give me information about this thing that I'm standing in front of versus find me one that meets a certain criteria. It's kind of a different question. But I guess the simple answer is you need both.
Well, I'll tell you another example that came to my mind when I read the article. I had this conversation last week with Bob Scott, who's the director of security applications for Intergraph, and his charge is to come up with solutions for the Intergraph computer-aided dispatching system. And what we were talking about were triggers and sensors. And as you go down the road or as an event happens, there are things that will be automatically triggered. The one example he gave was the fact that you have TV sensors on doors, and the fact is that you don't want a security guy monitoring that sensor all the time. You want an image processing solution that if something looks wrong, you want it to trigger an alert. And the same thing came to my mind when I was reading this article was, well, if the fireman is going down the street and he knew that a fire hydrant did not have the right water pressure, that type of an event would trigger an alert to the first responder. So I'm just, again, it was kind of brainstorming that all of this thing could tie into a central location-aware server.
Yeah, I want to return to the more simple question of, if you put information out, how will people respond? Because there's some kind of notification that something is going on. Here's more information about your local geography. And one example is certainly there are many signs in my area where you get sort of a heads up. It says, dangerous intersection. Well, that's telling you right up ahead, this is a place where lots of accidents happen, and you can take this one of two ways. One is, ooh, I better slow down because I don't want to be one of those people who gets into an accident. Alternatively, you could then go to your local highway department and say, hey, why is this intersection so dangerous? Let's fix it. Or why haven't you yet fixed it? There is that whole issue of sometimes you don't want people to know what's going on in a particular location. So instead of marking it in the real world, you mark it on the map. And I had one of those experiences a couple of years ago. I was down in Florida, and I went to Disney World, and I went to sit down and drink my lemonade, and the person next to me started smoking. And I looked at him, and I said, there's no smoking in the park. And he said, no, actually, this is a designated smoking area. And I looked around, and in fact, there was an ashtray. I thought, how strange. And I looked around to see if there were any signs that said this is a smoking area. And my thinking was, well, I want to know where these places are so I can avoid them. So I found a cast member, because, of course, they're not called employees at Disney, and I said, how will I know when I'm walking into a smoking area? And they said, oh, they're on the map. And I said, well, that's good, but when I'm just walking around, I don't know where to avoid because you haven't noted that in the real world. And the person got a little bit upset with me and said I had to talk to management. But that's one of those situations where, and her other comment was, well, we don't actually want you to smoke. And I thought, well, then you shouldn't have any smoking areas at all on the map or in the real world. But I thought it was an interesting choice for Disney to specifically not documented in the real world, but only documented.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, so there's a case where the symbology on the map would give people the impression that Disney does not want to portray, and yet they want to service some of their clients in a certain way through a more or less subliminal suggestion by having that ashtray on a table.
Well, to their credit, most of these smoking areas were sort of hidden in around corners, and I guess if you're a smoker, you sort of have to look for them. The problem is, if you're not a smoker, there's no way for you to avoid them.
I like the idea of transparency. I think labeling the fire hydrants, labeling streets, color coding different places of the city, I think are very, very helpful. And you hope that there's some coordination going on with the people who are doing the actual mapping so that the city looks coordinated with all of this symbology.
And people can take advantage of it. There are a number of signs in my neighborhood that are sort of little drawings of animals and things like that are on signposts. And I honestly don't know what they're for. I think they have to do with picking up and dropping off children either from school or other kinds of things. But I wonder if that's documented so that could be a location where you could have somebody meet you if they were in trouble. For example, go to the Pink Elephant. Again, a kid might know where that is because that's their bus stop or whatever. So there are many ways that these kinds of things can be used in the real world, and I think it's another opportunity for us to participate more in the real world as opposed to this electronic depiction of the real world that we have on our devices and in our GISs. That's all the time we have for today, but before we go, our sponsor ESRI would like you to know that the 2009 ESRI Electric and Gas User Group Conference will take place October 11th through the 14th in Atlanta, Georgia. There, you can share your GIS knowledge and experience with your peers in the utility industry by presenting a session at the conference. The deadline for abstract submissions is July 31st. Visit www.esri.com/EGUG, EGUG, for more information. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast and give us some examples of real-world signage that works where you are, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. And one final note before we go, this has been a big month for podcasts making it to big numbers, and we certainly want to reach out to the folks at VeriSpatial on their 200th episode. And I also want to acknowledge the folks at Buzz Out Loud who have reached their 1,000th episode. Now, here at Directions Magazine, we don't keep count, but we're happy for those who do. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.